you will remember that it wasn't just the letter to the Ephesians that we were wholly concerned with. We were concerned with a principle that we find not only in this Ephesian letter, but also in the Colossian letter, in the Thessalonian letter, and quite a few other of Paul's epistles. We tend to think that the first three chapters of Ephesians constitute all that Paul had to say. We forget that the last three chapters of Ephesians are but the practical experience of the first three chapters. And it is in the measure in which we know in experience, practically each one of us, the last three chapters of Ephesians, that we are really experiencing something of the first three chapters. And you remember this morning, we will not spend much time running over it, but you remember this morning that we said that Paul tells us that there are three realms in which this glorious and so great salvation of God is exposed for what it really is, and for that matter everything else is exposed for what it really is. And then that salvation is there in those three realms developed and realized. When we see something of that, we understand one of the most fundamental principles in the Bible. And that principle is this, that God brings everything that we call spiritual down to flesh and blood terms. It is a very common thing among those of us who love and know the Lord Jesus to talk about a kind of spirituality that is ethereal and theoretical. It is almost wholly a question of doctrine. It is something that you find some people reveling in. They just love it. It's all to do with ministry. It's all to do with teaching. It's all to do with what the Bible defines. But if we are really working with the Lord, we shall find that everything is being brought down to a tangible form. Nothing is left in the air. Nothing is left purely and merely in the invisible. In the end, God ties it all down to something which is tangible, something which is visible. And this is one of the most important things for those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus, and for any who want to find the Lord Jesus, to understand. If you mean business with the Lord, and if the Lord means business with you, it will not be very long before your salvation is brought right down to flesh and blood terms. It will be a question, as we said this morning, of time. Time. He will bring it all down to time. Time. Whom you apportion time. What you do with your time. Your attitude to your time. Everything will be brought down to this question of time. Your salvation, you will find that the Lord is not so much concerned with what you sing or what you say or all your knowledge or everything else. He will bring down the whole matter of your salvation to the question of your time and your attitude to time. What you do with it, where you spend it, how you waste it, who decides what you do, who decides where you go, and all those things. You will find the Lord will bring it right down to that. It's the same with money. And it's not only the same with time and with money, it's the same to do also with our very bodies, our very beings in the end. We shall find that the Lord comes right down to the question of ourselves. He will come down right to the question of our very body, what we're doing with them, where we take them, and so on. Our salvation, you see, is brought down by the Holy Spirit to very small and practical details. And some of us can be held up for a lifetime over a small question, seemingly, of what we do with our time. We can grow and grow and grow in our knowledge of the Bible. We can grow and grow and grow in our activity in Christian work. But we are absolutely scattered inwardly because we have never come to a real understanding of our salvation as regards time. We are not our own. We are brought to the past. Now, Paul said there were three realms. And the first realm is the church, and the second realm is the home, and the third realm is the place of our employment. And in these three realms, our salvation is brought right down to flesh and blood terms. This morning, we pointed out to you that Paul begins this, the last three chapters, his postscript to this letter, talking about unity, the oneness of Christ. He tells us that with lowliness of mind and meekness, forbearing with one another, we should maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then he goes on to say there is one body, one Spirit, and so on. And from there, he clearly tells us that there is a realm on earth in which we have got to discover the salvation of the Lord, and in which everything about us is going to be in the end exposed. That realm is the church in our locality. There we discover truth. There we shall discover reality. There we shall be stripped of everything which is pure humbug and hypocrisy. There all sorts of facade, whatever it is, however good it is, will be stripped from us. The Lord will use circumstances. He will use situations. He will use other brothers and sisters. He will use all kinds of things to deal with us. But the end is that we are brought right down to reality. Now this morning we spent quite a lot of time talking about a thing that runs right through this part to do with the church. That is the cup. And this evening I'm going to leave that. It's just to say that it is, you will find, at the root of all the trouble here in the church, this realm that we've got to stay in, we find that all the trouble stems from the cup. Either what someone says, or what someone repeats, or how someone reacts to what is told them. But it's all the tongue, and deeper than the tongue is the self-love. Behind what we say about other people, behind what we repeat to others, behind how we react to what people say, is our own self-love. No, make no mistake about that. It is an easy thing to talk about being one, as we've said, with children of God the other side of the globe. It's a very easy thing to talk about being one with people in Glasgow or in Cornwall. But God says all of that doesn't mean a thing unless we are one with the faith in the church in our locality. There it is stripped down to reality. Easy to talk about being one with people who we don't have to live with. But when we have to live with people, then it's either real or it's not real. It either proves to be of God or it proves to be not of God. It's there that we discover the real thing. So we find we can't escape. If once we have taken the ground of the church, once we have really come on to what we call church ground, we cannot leave. We cannot leave. We are thrown together with each other. We might discover the most terrible things about each other. We may discover things that horrify us. we may find all kinds of things that somehow or other we find very difficult to put up with. But it will be entirely as to the way in which we react and the way in which we get through that will determine the measure of the Lord Jesus in us in the end. And indeed, it will determine how far we shall be part of the eternal church. So we discover that there is a realm. That realm is an impolite realm. It is a place where we shall discover always people are most impolite. And I said this morning, sooner or later someone will let the cat out the bag. Sooner or later someone will say something. It may be the truth, it may not be the truth. It will knock you all over the place. But it will be your reaction that will determine whether you go on with the Lord or stop. It seems unjust that someone else can say something to you that may not even be true, and you react in the wrong way and stop. But it's true. It's absolutely true. We shall never cure people of their tongue till we're in the glory. The only way we can cure people of their tongues is by getting rid of the reaction in ourselves. That is the only way. We have got to let the Lord do his work through the tongues of others. And surely once we have become the butt of other people's tongues, we shall learn not to speak of others. We shall learn the sin of repetition. And so on. So you see, the church is a realm where all kinds of things happen. That's not an excuse for people's tongues, for every man will be judged by the words that he has spoken. All will have to give an account of exactly what they have said in this realm that we call the church. Oh yes. No, we can't just get away with it. But the measure in which we grow is the measure in which we know, in experience, the cross working in our own lives over this whole question of the reactions of others. I want to go one step further this evening in this whole question of this realm that Paul first deals with and says that there our salvation, all that's found in the first three chapters of Ephesians, is going to be worked out. All the glory of predestination, all the glory of the election of God, all the glory of his salvation is going to be proved and manifested in the realm of the church in our locality. There and there alone. But anywhere else, and you're out of it. You may be in a congregation, you may have wonderful ministers, but you're out. As far as the real dealing of God goes, bringing everything down to reality. For if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14-15, you read these rather remarkable words. That thou mayest know how men ought to behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Now this word truth does not just mean a doctrinal truth, written truth. This word truth in Scripture means reality. The church, the house of God, as it is expressed on earth, is the place which the Holy Spirit describes as the pillar of reality. That is a place that is a testimony to all around. It is the place where men and women ought to find reality. There they should be able to find life as it really is, exposed. When they come there, suddenly the whole deception of their natural life is seen in its right light. We read a passage in Ephesians which spoke of the light discovering things. Darby puts it beautifully. He says, light exposes things. When the light shines in, it exposes something. You see it for what it is. The Church of God, as expressed on earth, should be the place where men and women find out what is really wrong with love, and should find out God's answer to love. It is the pillar of reality. Get away from it, and you're in a world of unreality. To many people in the world, it seems to be reality. They get into it, but the farther they get into it, the more they know in their heart, it's unreal. It's a deception. The thing's built on a lie. A terrible lie. We believe it, we act on it, and then we discover to our loss that it's a terrible lie. But the Church is the place of reality. There, men and women ought to be able to find out the truth about everything. The truth about themselves. The truth about God. The truth about natural life. The truth about this universe. The truth about everything. But how will they find out the truth? They will find out the truth because the people who constitute the Church of God have themselves been stripped down to reality. Stripped down to reality. All those things which are just out the product of our own personality. Stripped. So that really what is of Christ is manifest. Paul says the Church is the realm where everything of our salvation is brought right down to flesh and blood terms. Now, I dare to say that many of us, if not all of us, in this room have discovered that. You have discovered one simple thing, if anything, about the Church of God. It is this. That when you touch it, you come into a sphere where you don't get away with anything. Not anything. And the Lord will do the seemingly the most terrible thing to get us right down to reality. Oh yes. If the Lord sees a person, a brother or a sister, they are on church land, and they are living a lie, he will appeal to them, he will beseech them, he will in every way possible try to get them out of that deception. But if they will not, oh, sometimes what the Lord does to bring us to reality. The New Testament is filled with this, however much. The 20th century does not believe it. It's there. It speaks of all kinds of things befalling us. Not because God is harsh or severe, but because God is love. And because God will make sure that even if we lose everything, including physical life, we shall in the end be in the possession of reality. He will pursue us. He will pursue us. Because of our relationship to the Church of the Living God, because it is the ground of reality, he will pursue us until at last we are in the possession of reality. This is a realm that we all ought to be aware of if we don't mean business with the Lord. It is one thing to belong to just a congregation of the Lord's people. You can get away with an awful lot. You have only to witness. I need only bring to you some leaders in Christian work, they will tell you all kinds of things that have gone on. People have got away with it. But you touch the Church of God in its faulty, most wayward, most sinful. But on this ground. And you just try to do the things that you could do elsewhere, there. And you are right in a head-on collision with the Lord Himself. Of course, it's people. We should always be with people. We should always be with our brothers and sisters. But we might be right. They may be wrong. But the strange thing is, we find the Lord is doing it. We are hitting the Lord. The count is away with it. It is the ground of reality. All of us could explain the tremendous amount in our lives if we would only understand it. Oh yes, the Lord will dare to do the most amazing thing to bring us in the end to reality. If the Lord can preserve something, if the Lord can keep something for the eternal thing, He will dare to do the most amazing things. But the end is always and always that there might be something which is absolutely real and eternal. So Paul says to them, you keep to this ground. You mustn't move off of it. You must keep to it. You've got to maintain this unity. Whatever the attitude of others, whatever the spirit of others, you've got to hold to this ground. You've got to get through on this ground. Everything depends upon your getting through on this ground. But if you say, you will go through a lot to be brought right down to the earth. But you know, that's only one side of it. It may take for some of us a devastating shattering of what we are to bring us to a right recognition of what we are. Some of us have got the most amazing conceptions about ourselves, what we are and what we are not. But the church is the place. They'll say sooner or later someone will say something, and you'll hate it. But it's probably the truth. And the only way you can get to it is by putting yourself into the hands of the Lord and asking Him to deal with it. There is a realm that Paul clearly defines in Ephesians, and there all this question of our salvation is absolutely worked out. It's a terrible thing to be on what dear brother me calls body journey. It is a terrible thing to be a member of the body. A wonderful thing that Jacob, when he saw the house of God, he said, this is a terrible thing. This is none other than the house of God. He knew. This was the end of Jacob. If he stayed on this ground, something was going to happen to Jacob. It was going to be the end, completely, of what he was. That is so. And we must not think, too, that the Lord is necessarily confined to space or time. The Lord never leaves us. And if the Lord sets in motion something, He will pursue us and pursue us and pursue us, as the psalmist said, where can I flee from the Lord? If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I go to the farthermost part of the earth, thou art there. Everywhere the Lord will find. The only place we can get to, if we're going to get to, is where we stay. Where we stay. That is the place we've got to get through. We can't just leave and go to the other side of the globe, or just move ourselves even a few miles. Because if we move onto the right ground, we shall discover before very long we're right up against them. Very same thing. We have to get through where God is good. And there is another realm we might spend a few moments upon, and that realm is the realm of the home. The home. We could only see something of the real nature of the home in the eyes of God. What a difference that would make. Paul sees the home quite clearly as part of the church. He doesn't look upon it just simply as something outside of it. He looks upon it merely as something within it. And he looks upon the home as part of the ministry of Christ. Remember how he speaks of hospitality. Later on he speaks of home and their being what they ought to be in the plan and mind of God. Now, if we read the letters of Paul, we shall always discover one amazing thing. He's always talking about husbands and wives, and wives and husbands, parents and children and parents. And this is the thing that so often we don't hear amongst the Lord's people. Why was Paul always bringing marvelous things to do with before times eternal, glorious conceptions of God's salvation, then he brings it all down to husbands loving their wives and wives being subject to their husbands, children honouring their parents, and fathers taking care of their children not to provoke them to anger? Now, why did Paul always bring these things right down to that level? Because that is the level where our salvation will be proved. Just there. The first thing is this. In God's plan, every Christian home is part of the ministry of Christ. And the first thing that it ought to do is to see that it is rightly related to the house of God. The tabernacle was not outside and the home in the center. The tabernacle was at the heart, and all the homes were placed in order around the tabernacle. You can always tell, I can, and I know many others that can tell, as soon as you enter a home, a Christian home, whether the Lord is really in charge or not. You can tell immediately by the atmosphere. Always. There is either a peace or there is no peace. The testimony of a Christian home is peace that comes out of harmony, that comes out of two people who know the way of the cross. There is no greater contradiction to our salvation than a husband and a wife that are out of fear with each other. The whole of our nation is riddled with this terrible thing. And the tragedy is this, that there are thousands of Christian homes that would have been in the divorce court if it hadn't been for the fact that they are Christian homes. But they are suffering. That is a complete contradiction, a complete contradiction to our salvation. We've only got to read here what Paul really understood to be the ministry of a Christian home. He did not look upon the man and the woman as having differing measures of equality. He looked upon them absolutely as partners in life. Absolutely equal. But where Paul would have fallen out of the 20th century was this, that he clearly defined that the function of the husband and the wife are entirely different. And all the trouble comes from husbands trying to do their wives
Well, the wise guy did not have to be sad. For it is true, we say, wise men drowned and husbands in the night.
And there's an awful lot of nonsense talked amongst us and amongst the whole people generally about what they call subjection. As if there is one person who is evidently Lord as master, and the other who is a servile slave, a maid. This is not found in the scripture at all. Nowhere is it found in the scripture. If husbands and wives could see the completely different functions of each side of the partnership, the home would come to rest on a right basis of proper equality in the Lord, but of a complete different perspective. Now, if any of you have ever been in a home where this is true, the first thing you need to see, I'm not saying they're not loud there, or that there are not difficulties there or collisions, but the thing that above and beyond it all kinds of things do, you know, the peace, order, the absolute order. That's the testimony. So the husband represents Christ, and the wife represents the church. There can be no realness of God until that order. The first thing then in a Christian home is to get rightly related to the church. The second thing is to get rightly related with it to each other. Husband to wife and wife to husband. There's no difficulty about this question of confession. Because if, as Paul says, a husband really loves his wife, no wife would find it difficult. No husband would find it difficult to accept the suggestion. And no wife would find it difficult to do what she does. There is something very beautiful about true submission. The true relationship between a husband and a wife is a very, very beautiful relationship. It's a delicate relationship. It's a sensitive relationship. It is not something that you can produce or something you can create. It is the exact same relationship that ought to exist between those who have any authority or responsibility in the house of God and the other. You don't demand obedience. You don't demand obedience. But in many words, recognition. Well, there's a fear. It comes right down to children. You know, Paul put this to what we would have called excess today. He said, no man, can be qualified for any responsible position whatsoever in the house of God who has not got the right relationship with his wife and with his children. That's how far he went. In other words, it would have ruled out a very large number of modern-day Christians from any kind of office or position. He speaks to children, knowing something of honoring their parents. Lots of sense of sensory conception, is it? Children obeying, in the Lord, their parents. He never gives a time limit or sets. And maybe tells us to honor our father and our mother all the days of our life. Is it with a relationship? This question of being a Christian comes down to relationship. It comes down to the whole relationship within a home. Now, all that we're saying is this, that our salvation will be proved in the church, in our locality, and it will be proved in our home. And so often these are the two places where it's not proved. We're all very sweet and loving outside. But that's not to say anything of what we're really Well, Paul says an awful lot about husbands and wives, parents and children, children and parents. If we could only understand something of that, it would bring us into an understanding in a far, far more practical way of how the Lord brings down our salvation to practical terms, right down to terms of flesh and blood. I don't think we'll say anything more. There's a lot more I would like to say about, really about homes, families, just really what the Lord means by them, how exactly they fit in to the economy of God, as far as the church is concerned. But let me just say this, that your home will never, ever come into its right function or ministry until you have given the Lord his right in the midst of his people. Christians are often prepared to give the Lord his right in their home as a unit. But it will never come into its function until you give the Lord his right in the midst of his people. That is, your home is brought right into it here in the church. As part Well, Paul speaks a lot about that later on when he speaks about wives and their ministry in Timothy. He speaks of a very strange ministry, I might say, seemingly. But it's a remarkable ministry, because Paul saw the family as part of the ministry of Christ. Well, there we are, there's another realm. And that realm is one which touches every one of us and touches us rather hard. Of course, I expect all of these realms touch all of us, actually. But the last realm is the realm of our employment. Ah, that finds a lot of us out. The realm, really, of our employment. Do you know what you say, what Paul looks upon? He looks upon our employment as being in the service of the Lord. He looks upon it as being in the service of the Lord. And he looks upon everything that we do in our everyday job as being received and accepted by the Lord. So he says to them, don't get too hit up. Don't get too worried about your boss or your supervisor or your manager or manager there. Don't get too worried about it. Look beyond them to the Lord. The Lord puts you in this job, and the Lord is employing you. Do everything as unto the Lord. Every single job that leaves your hands, let it be for the Lord. Do everything as unto the Lord. We come right down, our salvation comes right down to the question of our employment, our attitude to those above us. And then it comes down for any who are managers or manager letters or have any responsibility for other lives, it comes down to your attitude to those under you. See, it's all a question. This becoming a child of God, this becoming a member of the body of Christ, comes right down to practical flesh and blood terms in the earth. Do you know that I believe, and I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, believe that the place where men and women ought to be sent is our attitude? Because they see more of us than anywhere else. And you get a person in for perhaps half an hour to a service, or an hour to a gathering, and so on. But what about the hours you spend working beside people who aren't the Lord? But isn't it a tragedy that so often Christians are known to be difficult, irritable people, bad tempered, and so on? It's a terrible thing. Our offices should be the sphere of the ministry of Christ, as our homes are the sphere of the ministry of Christ. Some of you who are wives, your kitchen sink is part of the ministry of Christ. It is, it's part of the ministry of Christ. It's important as being on a platform here. So many of us think that we're only gathering as the church, we're only the church when we're gathered in this room. This is a tragedy.
our home. You're the church there. Do you know you're the church in your office? I don't mean you start meeting and gathering like the church says you are, but I just mean you are the church. You represent the church of God, the body of the Lord Jesus, Christ himself. Therefore, what you do, how you do it, your reactions are very, very important to the ministry of the Lord Jesus, to the increase of Christ. Very important. I think we so often lose sight of these things because when we get back to it all, we get down to the humdrum nature of it all, and then the wearing nature of it all, we very quickly lose sight of it being the ministry of the Lord Jesus. But it isn't. We are the church. We can't unchurch ourselves. We've been born of God. We are the church. We're on that ground. We belong to the church in its practical expression. Very well. We can't unchurch ourselves. Wherever we are, we're members of the church. We, of course, gather and assemble as the church. To give expression to it, together, a corporate way. But we don't become uncorporate when we leave. Or it would be very interesting, although it would be very terrible for us all to discover, if we only could, that what people in our office are saying, because the world has left the same thing. I would like to hear. I've heard some things about myself. And I think you probably have heard one or two things about yourself. Of course, they will pick out the things and hammer home, but often they will pick out the things to the people. Maybe interesting to know what do they say about as it. So the Paul says, you, not you in the singular, but you in the plural, are a living epistle, a letter from God. So someone said the only Bible that men will ever see in any instance is your faith. So there are three realms that Paul points out, and do you know how he ends? He ends about, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. You see, where really does our strength come from? From proving our salvation in those three fields. Then there's some backbone in spiritual conflict. There's something behind us. When we enter into spiritual conflict, we prove something. We're not just standing up and saying Christ is the answer. We're proving that Christ is the answer amongst ourselves. Not by running away, not by drawing into a shell, not by evading the issue, but by getting through. We've found that Christ is the answer. We're not going to be hypocrites about it. We're not going to sing one thing and be experiencing another. In our home, we can't go to the world, to the divorcees, to the wrecked homes, to delinquent children, and say Christ is the answer, when amongst ourselves, the very same thing, by the pain. We've got to have an answer that practically works out. We can't go to a world and say, oh, the stripes everywhere, the troubles everywhere, oh, it's all so terrible, when we're not getting through in our own office, when we don't know how to accept authority, when we don't know how really to exercise authority. We have got to have practical knowledge of the Lord Jesus and his salvation in these spheres. Then
to understand something of that. How about getting? Lord, we do ask to be together now in the quietness. That thou blot out everything or anything, Lord, that is untoward. Not about
we're proving that Christ is the answer amongst ourselves. Not by running away, not by falling into a shell, not by evading the issue, but by getting through. We've found that Christ is the answer. And we're not going to be hypocrites about it. We're not going to sing one thing and be experiencing another. In our homes, we can't go to the world, to the divorcees, to the wrecked homes, to delinquent children, and say Christ is the answer, when amongst ourselves, the very same thing, have obtained. We've got to have an answer practically to ourselves. We can't go to a world and say, oh, the strikes everywhere, the troubles everywhere, oh, it's all so terrible, when we're not getting through in our own message. When we don't know how to accept authority, when we don't know how really to accept authority, we have got to have practical knowledge of the Lord Jesus and his salvation in these spheres. Then we enter into the conflict of something behind. Oh, Lord, help us to understand something of that. How about getting? Lord, we do ask to be together now in the quietness that thou blot out everything or anything, Lord, that is untoward. Not of thyself, but right in our hearts, Lord, says we cannot escape from it or evade it. What is it by now? And make us all to be truly a living epistle of Christ. We ask it together in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.